Hey, take your Bible, if will, to the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 16, 1 Kings chapter 16, if you will. Been trying to preach through the book of 1 Kings, and we're getting to the part where it really gets exciting, all right? Getting to Elijah's coming up here pretty quick in the next chapter, and the great prophet of God, but we're going to see another prophet here in chapter 16, but if you will, you find your place there in 1 Kings 16. I want you to go back to the very beginning of the book of 1 Kings, whatever it is in your Bible, okay, that page where it's got chapter 1. Now, in my Bible, it says the first book of the Kings. How many of yours says that? All right, the first book of the Kings. Hey, you get in the book of Kings just a little ways, and you find out why it has that name. Boy, there is a multitude of kings. Multitude of kings mentioned. To complicate matters, there's two different nations whose kings are listed and mentioned intermingled. They're not kept separate. So you can easily get in the book of Kings and get a little bit confused. You say, now which king are we talking about here? And wait a minute, now which nation was he king of? All right? Because the land of Israel was split after only three kings. Saul was the king, then David took the throne. Saul was man's choice, David was God's choice. And then Solomon took the throne. And then after Solomon, they couldn't hold it together, all right? They just couldn't hold this thing together. So things split. They had the northern kingdom that is called Israel, and it's sometimes called Ephraim, and it's sometimes called Samaria. You said, why did God do it like that? So you could keep on your toes, all right? You could learn and pay attention. And then the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, just two tribes. But man, there's kings and kings and more kings, all right? Hey, in chapter 16, there's at least seven kings mentioned in just that one chapter, all right? Now, we read about kings, and we normally, we think of kings, we think, boy, there's some guys that had an easy life. They had all the comforts imaginable. They had, you know, they ruled, and there's nothing like being the boss, right, and ruling and taking care of all of that. But man, in chapter 16, here in these first seven verses that we're about to read, we're going to see some kingly retribution, all right? All was not just hunky-dory, okay, just because you were a king. Look, if you will, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, for as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over thy people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam and hast made my people Israel to sin to provoke me to anger with their sins, behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and thy posterity and the posterity of his house, and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did in his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Elah, his son, reigned in his stead. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, and provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, and being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. Look, God sent his prophet with a message to Baasha. Man, he gave him the word of the Lord to Baasha. And though none of us be kings, except maybe in your own little world, though none of us be kings, there's still things that we can learn and we can benefit from Jehu's message to Baasha. Because as the Bible said, there is no respect of persons with God, all right? So the message today got 4 points, all right? You'll just stay with me through all 4 of them on purpose. Number 1, I want you to see blessed. Blessed. Look there if you will. For as much in verse 2 as I exalted thee. Man, look, God made it plain that he had blessed Baasha. He said to him, I exalted thee out of the dust. Out of the dust. Here, Baasha, man, I pulled you out of the dust. And it's a reminder, don't you forget, Baasha, where you came from. Don't you get the idea that you were really something outstanding on your own and you're just a wonderful human being and you're king because you just deserve it. He said, I pulled you out of that dust, okay? That's where I found you and that's where you came from and I blessed you. And after God pulled him out of the dust, he promoted him. And he put him, he moved him from a pauper to a prince, if you will, all right? He said, I made thee prince over my people Israel. Now, did you get it? Jehu told the king, he said, look, God made you the ruler. God made you the ruler. He said, I pulled you out of the dust and I made you a ruler. I promoted you. I put you in that place. You're blessed. And because of me, you didn't achieve that position you had without the intervention of God. And boy, can I just draw the application to you and I today. We have been blessed by God. We have been blessed by God. You said, preacher, I'm having it tough. But you're having it tough living in an air-conditioned home. I was listening on the radio earlier this week. I don't remember what it was. May have been driving somewhere and heard a guy talking about it. He said, man, when I was a kid, we didn't have air conditioning. I got to thinking about it as a kid. I grew up, I was born in Georgia. We had a swamp cooler in Georgia. But we moved to Florida and we had fans in Florida. We were in South Florida. That's the definition of humidity, all right? I mean, that's where we live. And we lived there for 5 years. We never had a house that had any kind of air conditioning. We just raised the windows. We didn't have window units. We just had fans. And boy, we turned them on. And I never thought a thing about it. You know, I didn't know we were suffering. I didn't know how poor we were and how bad off we living, you know. And I didn't realize that. And we moved to Texas. And we had air conditioning. Now, I want you to know, I did not say to my parents, good Lord, could we turn that thing off? Man, I never wanted to do that. But we had air conditioning. And I didn't realize how bad it was in Florida till my brother and I went back. And we went back down there about 6 years or so, maybe after we moved here, something like that. But we stayed in the home of some people we knew there. And they had central heat and air. And they didn't turn it on. And I'll never forget, my brother and I, we were trying to sleep that night. The windows were open and we were dying. And both of us, both of us got up. And we went over to the window and it was about this high. And we leaned up there trying to suck in cool air, man. Because we had moved here and got used to that air conditioning. Now, you say, preacher, you're preaching against air conditioning. No, I'm preaching in favor of it, all right? But I just want you to know, you and I, we're blessed. We're blessed. Most of us rode to church today in a car that's air conditioned. Now, it may have some bent places on it. But you got here, man. Air conditioned, you rode, and did anybody have to shift gears? Man, you didn't even have to shift gears. Did you? All right, one of you. Never mind, we won't go there, all right? A Hey, we didn't have to shift gears, all right? We just got in, we sat down, we cranked it up. I don't even have to turn the key on in mine, just punch a button, all right? Thing starts up, you know? And, hey, but I'm just telling you, we're blessed. God's been awful good to us. He has been awful good to us. He's put us in a place, and he's provided for us. You can look around and tell there's not many of us that look malnourished. God's been good to us. You're blessed. Now, you may not have everything you think you want, but, buddy, the truth of the matter is we look at the rest of the world, we live in luxury. We live in luxury. We've been blessed by God. He pulled us out of the dust, the dirt, and the mire. He's allowed us to be promoted. He's put us where we are. Now, we may have messed it up, but God's been mighty good. We've been blessed. That was the first part of the message from Jehu. Blessed. The second part is, but. He said, what do you mean? Baasha was blessed, but. His problem was what he did with the blessing of God. Look there, if you will. For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam. Hey, blessed, but he picked his own path. He picked his own path. He decided, I'm going to walk in the way of Jeroboam. Now, he knew who Jeroboam was. Jeroboam had ruled a few rulers before him. He was there, and he knew he was. But he decided, I'm going to walk that way. You said, well, what was that way? We'll take your Bible, look down at verse 17. He said, the Bible said, against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did. Hey, that path that he picked was the way of evil. It was the way of wickedness. It was the way of disobedience. It was the way of idolatry. But that's the path he picked. Now, you notice nobody made him take that path. Nobody made him. He picked that path. He picked that path. It was totally his choice. Nobody was standing behind him with a gun. Nobody had his arm twisted behind his back. He made a choice. He said, I'm going to walk in the way of Jeroboam. He picked the path that he trod. Now, God has said, hey, here is the way, walk you in it. But a lot of people, just like Baasha, decided, no, I'm going over here. Hey, listen to me. Not only did he not walk with God, he didn't even walk toward God. He walked away from God. That was the path he picked. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us sitting here, you're going to pick the path you walk. You're going to pick the path you walk. No, it's not forced on you. Well, I didn't have any other choice. Yes, you did. He picked the path he walked. Well, wait a minute. Not only did he pick his path, but he persuaded the people to go with him. He persuaded the people to go with him. Notice that's what the Bible said there. He said, has made my people Israel to sin. That's what Baasha did. He said, you not only picked your path, but you persuaded the people to go along with you. Not enough to go wrong himself. Not content to mess his own life up. I'm happy with that. No, I've got to bring in all the people of my nation. I want as many of them as I can. I want to take them with me. You know, there is just something about folks that decide to go wrong that they're not happy unless they can get somebody else to go with them. Hey, a lot of them, they come after you. They come after you. Not content to just mess up my own life, but I'm going to take somebody else down the wrong road. That's what Baasha did. That was his choice. He was the leader, but he led wrong. But he led wrong. That's Baasha. Blessed, but he picked his path. He persuaded people to go along with him. But then you notice there in the rest of that verse, he said, he provoked me to anger. Provoke me to anger with their sins. He provoked God to anger. I don't know if you provoke people. Have you ever watched somebody intentionally make somebody else mad? I've seen it happen on a time or two. Provoke somebody. Just won't let them alone. Picking at them. Pushing on them. You know, sticking. Until you provoke them. Provoke them. We've had kids in our school before that other kids knew how to push their buttons. And occasionally they would do that. Until they caused that one student to lose their temper and do something they would not have done had they not been provoked. For the Bible said that Baasha, in persuading the people, led Israel to provoke God to anger. To provoke God to anger. Now listen, you don't do that by one simple thing. You don't provoke God to anger by one sin. But you provoke it by a repeated violation of His commands and a repeated ignoring of His pleas. Then you provoke Him. Now some of you may be sitting here, you may be on the verge of doing that now. Can I say this to you? When that happens, the only thing you got to do is look out for judgment. Look out for judgment. So here's Baasha, blessed, but, and then number three, busted. Busted, the way we'd say it maybe today. Look, if you will, there. Look at verse 3. Now you remember who's talking? You hadn't forgot who's talking, right? This is Jehu, the prophet of God. The prophet of God says, behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Hey, the prophet Jehu let it be known that Baasha was not going to get away with what he had done. You know, there is something about the cockiness of human beings that we get the idea that I can do whatever I want to and I can get away with it. You can't do that, all right? Now, you may be able to get away with some things because of power and wealth, but there's a God in heaven that's going to judge you one day, all right? And I mean, he was busted. He had provoked God to anger. Hey, the next thing to look for is judgment. Notice what it says. His dynasty was removed, okay? I will take away the posterity of Baasha. One thing a king likes to do is to establish his dynasty and to have a long line of descendants. So we have been ruled by the house of whoever for umpteen years. Umpteen years. And in Chinese history, it's dynasties, all right? And in English history, there's the Tudors and there's the Stuarts, all right? And you say, who was that? People in history, all right? They had a dynasty. And they passed that thing on. Well, what God was saying to Baasha is, hey, there's not going to be a long-lasting dynasty with the name of Baasha on it. It's just not going to happen. As a matter of fact, only one of his descendants was going to rule. You know how long he ruled? A massive 2 years. That's it. And the dynasty, the posterity of Baasha was done for. Done for. It was over. But not only that, the Bible said the posterity of his house. But look at the way God put it in chapter 16 and verse 4. Look at the way he put it. Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat. And him that dieth of his in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Hey, there was no dignity. There was no honorable burial. Nothing like that. The Bible just said, man, they were going to be cut down and they would either be eaten by dogs or they would be devoured by the birds of the air. Hey, boy, how would it feel to be the king and have a prophet come to you, look in the eye and say, here's what's coming. Here's what's coming. And it's coming because of your sin. Here it is. Number 4. I want you to notice, if you will, in verse 6. So Baasha slept with his fathers. Hey, he was buried. He was buried. Now we have a tendency to think, well, that's the end of it. That's the end of Baasha. That's not so. Because the Bible clearly says, it is appointed unto man once to die. And then after this, after that death, after that burial, the judgment. The judgment. Baasha died a long, long time ago. In the neighborhood of 300 years ago. 3,000 years ago. Now, I don't know if there's any bones left of Baasha. But I want you to know this. Baasha still awaits meeting God face to face in judgment. In judgment. The fact that his life ended on this earth did not mean that's the end of everything. It doesn't mean that, okay, Jehu bawled him out and made him feel bad and then he died and that was it. No, he's still awaiting judgment of God. God made the judgment on his posterity. His posterity did not rule. His family did not last. But he still awaits judgment. Still, judgment is coming for him. And I want to tell you, judgment's coming for all of us. Some people seem to think that they have hell on earth. I've heard people make the statement, I'm not worried about hell, I've had hell on earth. No, you hadn't, buddy. Not so by a long shot. Not at all. You're still going to be judged by God. You're still going to stand before him. You're still going to hear him speak some words to you. Now, I don't know what he's going to say to you. It may be, sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting judgment. I don't know. Now I hope it'll be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I can't determine that. That's in your lap, all right? That's in your lap. Now there's the record of Baasha. There's the record of Baasha in a very short order, all right? He was blessed, but then he was busted and he was buried. But there's a few applications and a few verses I want to draw your attention to before we finish. The first one is in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, where the Bible says this, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Can I say this to you? If a king cannot escape the consequences of his sin, neither can us commoners. We can't escape it either. All right? Payday's going to come around. Payday's going to come around. You can guarantee your sin will find you out. Now, you may be sitting in this congregation this morning and nobody. Now, you may have family members here. But nobody knows the sin that you're committing. You've got it hidden and you think well hidden. But you mark her down, Bible's true. You be sure your sin will find you out. Whether it's what the world calls this big sin, or what maybe a vast number would say, well, that's just a minor thing. Buddy, your sin will find you out. And we may find out one of these days that our version of big and God's version of big is two different things. His version of what's not so important and our version is two different things. But be sure your sin will find you out. Then I want to ask you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Now remember, Baasha was king. Baasha was king. He had a place of responsibility. He had a position of leadership. He led a nation. Now, you and I, we don't lead a nation. Maybe the biggest thing you lead is a family, and boy, that may be more important than the nation. You lead the family. But you live a life. I want you to notice what verse 48 of Luke 12 says. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Now listen real close. For under whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Hey, the more you know, the more opportunities you have been given, the more you will give an account for. The more you'll give account for. Hey, you've been blessed. Maybe you've been blessed with godly parents. They raised you in church. They kept you there. You were taught. You were instructed. You knew what was right. You knew what was wrong. You made decisions. You've done things. Hey, the more that you know to whom much is given, much is required. Much is required. The more you know, the more you answer for. I don't want you to sit there and think, bless God, I won't stay ignorant then. No, because it's too late. Too late, you've already been given, all right? To whom much is given, much is required. You said, what are you emphasizing? I'm emphasizing here, folks, that means we may have just a great deal to answer for. We may have the idea, well, hey, I just kind of playing it cool and I don't have, no, much has been given, much is required. God's given you opportunities. What have you done with the opportunity? What have you done with those opportunities? What have those blessings, those abilities you've been given, what have you done with them? How did you use them? How did you use them? You stay with me, would you? You stay with me this morning here. Hey, be sure your sin will find you out. To whom much is given, much is required. You will give an account, and you will give an account for a great deal one of these days. You stand before God because you will stand before Him in judgment. But in the midst of that, can I tell you there is another verse that I would take you to, and that book is in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Where the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying had Baasha repented, Baasha could have changed some things. But he never did. He never did. This morning, be sure your sin will find you out. To whom much is given, much is required. But wait a minute. You can get things right with God. You've picked a path. Can I say this? You can change paths. You've persuaded people to go wrong. You could persuade them to come back right. You could do that. You've provoked God. But wait a minute. You don't have to keep doing that. You can come to Him. And you can confess your sin. I'm so glad God's still in the business of forgiving sin. If we'll just come to Him. Boy, I want to tell you, there's no better time to come than today. Today. Not put it off. Man, I'm reminded of, I can't help it immediately when I said that came to mind, Brother Johnny Flanagan's song that he used to sing. He sung it here several times. One More Night with the Frogs. That's reminiscent and comes from the plague of frogs that fell on the land of Egypt in the days of Pharaoh and Moses dealing with Pharaoh to let his people go. And the plague of frogs came on the land and Pharaoh finally said, okay, I'll get right, I'll let you go. And they asked him, well, when do you want the frogs taken away? And the craziest answer in the world was, tomorrow. Can I say this to you? As an individual who's not right with God, tomorrow's not the time to get right. Today is. Today is. If we confess our sin, He's faithful. And He's just. He'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I tell you what, I know the truth of that verse because I've applied it many times in my life. He'll do it. Oh, listen, my friend, you're here. You've not provoked God to anger. You've not done that. You've not led a nation astray, but you've picked the wrong path. Well, wouldn't today be a good time to get on the right path? Wouldn't right now be a good time to repent of that sin and ask God to forgive you? To confess it and come to Him in openness and honesty and say, Lord, here I am, I'm guilty. Quit covering up. Quit patting yourself on the back. Quit thinking I'm not such a bad guy. Hey, if you're not right with God, you ain't such a good guy. You're not right with God. Why don't you get right with Him today? Baasha could have, but he didn't. What are you going to do? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. Lord, we thank You for the message from the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for what You've told us there and the truth we find. And Lord, I pray we'd not sit there and think that was just him. That just happened to him. That's him. It ain't going to happen to me.